We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Got a great show for you today. Evan Roberts is here, and we're all thrilled about that. And he is not trying out to be the next weatherman on any of the local news broadcasts. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today?
Listen, man, I got rained on. I was the ultimate loser.
Yes, you were.
Okay, I had to walk over that, whatever they call that bridge from LIRR to Citi Field. What do they call that? The Flushing Bridge?
It's called the Rusty Star Bridge.
The Rusty Star Bridge? I sprinted on the Rusty Star Bridge in a torrential rainstorm.
Yeah, but I thought it was raining.
And as I was running, I said to myself, this is my comeuppance. I deserve this.
Yeah, the lead story, it's interesting. You know, there's one Yankee and one Met. I just heard Ackerman's update there. It's funny how, you know, it's the same report and people are reacting to it completely in polar opposites. I'm fascinated by it. Where I just heard Ackerman say, the New York Mets got good news in regards to the recovery of Jacob DeGrom. I was walking around this building today, and I heard that, and I heard the exact opposite, that the New York Mets got bad news today because Jacob DeGrom's not coming back on June 1st, which is now obvious because he's not throwing off a mound, live hitters, any of that stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, was it good news today that there was no setback in the body healing itself, and he can now throw harder and from longer distance? Or is it bad news that it appears, while the Mets didn't put a date on it, you're looking more like July than you are June?
It was always July.
Was it?
Buck Showalter was on our show a month ago.
I thought it was 6 weeks originally.
Well, no, that's true, but okay. Let's go step by step here. When Buck Showalter was with us a month ago, and we brought up Jacob DeGrom. He said, yeah, things look good. We should get him back by July. That was the first time I had heard July. Because before that, when I did the math, when Jake had his first injury, I said, okay, 6 weeks, starting to throw. Hey, maybe June 1st.
I think we all agreed that that'd be a good return.
Sure, that was hope. But when Buck said a month ago, July, I figured, okay, they're going to be really slow and conservative with him, as they should.
Yeah.
So I don't believe today is a negative day. It's also not a day where I'm celebrating. The day I'm going to celebrate is when Jacob DeGrom is pitching for the New York Mets.
I agree. Like, it's weird. Like, and I don't think it's anything, to be honest. I heard the news, you know, driving in today, and I heard the Billy Epler comments, which were basically nothing other than what, you know, Ack just said in the update. Yeah, he's going to throw from a longer distance, and they're going to let him kind of rev it up a little bit. He's not throwing 100, but he can now throw the ball harder.
Right.
And in their world, that's progress.
It is progress.
But listen, here's the reality, the way I view it, and I think this is the way most athletes view guys who are injured. He's not here.
That's how I view it.
And until he's here, he's not here.
That's exactly how I view it as
a
Met fan.
Stop.
You can't think about Jacob DeGrom. When I heard this news today, and you know I'm a Jacob DeGrom stan, or whatever you want to call me, I looked at it and said, okay, when Jacob DeGrom is ready to pitch for the New York Mets, that means he's made rehab starts, that means he's not sore, that means he's good to go. When he's ready to start for the New York Mets, whether it's in the middle of July, first week of August, whenever, I will be ecstatic. Until then, it's you shrug your shoulders and say, okay.
Yeah, I think the Jacob DeGrom story plays out either he pitches this year, whenever that is, and that's a great story, and it'll be celebrated rightfully so, or, and I don't wish this, of course, on him or Met fans, something goes south in his recovery, and you're told he's not pitching this year, and that's a terrible story. But right now, Jacob DeGrom doesn't exist.
You can't think about him.
You're 10 games over 500, and Jacob DeGrom is not a part of the New York Mets
right
now.
And even if they weren't 10 games above 500, and look, injuries are starting to occur. Tyler McGill is missing his next start. We're going to have to watch Trevor Williams pitch a game today. David Peterson probably by the end of the week. even if there's a need for Jacob deGrom, and there always should be a need for Jacob deGrom, he's the best pitcher in baseball, nothing can change this timeline. Nothing should change this timeline, nor should anything change your view on this. Jacob deGrom doesn't exist until we're told he's ready to make a start for the New York Mets, and that's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, so that's the Mets side, and the Mets do play later this afternoon, so we'll keep you abreast of that, obviously, if you're on your way out to the ball game. I know, listen, it's going to be an empty building for the first game for sure, even though it is a gorgeous day today. And that's just the way it goes when you have last-minute cancellations and doubleheaders, et cetera. But I'm sure by tonight it'll be great for their second game against the Cardinals. Here's the Yankee thing. It's off the field also. It's got nothing to do with the fact that they won yesterday, and they are a rocket ship right now that it appears... Short term, there's no end in sight of the Yankee winning. And like I always say, stack dubs. It don't have to be pretty, but stack the dubs whenever you can because you're going to go through a period where you're 5-5 over 10 or 7-8 over 15, whatever the case may be. But I'm bothered by the nasty Nestor Cortez story that came out.
Which aspect of it?
Well, a couple, actually. One is who went back and researched the high school tweets of Nestor Cortez, and why?
Oh, the why is easy. The why is easy. If you remember back, was it a year ago or 2 years ago, Josh Hader had his old Twitter searched.
I do remember that.
And the reason that happened is because Josh Hader was pitching, I think, in the All-Star game. And so the attention was on Josh Hader. And there's always somebody who says, oh, this guy's getting a lot of attention. This guy's pretty good. Let me dig and find something.
So, in other words, let me find a way to tear him down.
Yes.
Let me find a way to cancel him.
So, answer to your question is 1.35. Is that his ERA right now? 1.35?
Yeah, right.
That's the answer.
Right. So, Nestor Cortez having an unforeseen successful year at the level he's having it right now, which is crazy. And no one could have predicted it, not even him, not the Yankees. You know, his dominance right now this year. Let somebody... to try to bring him down.
Yes.
To cancel him, to find something in his past that would bring shame upon him.
Yes.
And by proxy, I guess, the New York Yankees. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Why?
Because when
who lives their life that way?
Well, I don't and you don't, but when people reach a certain level of fame in sports or entertainment, there's somebody out there who thinks to themselves, I'm going to bring that SOB down.
Because he wronged me?
Jealousy.
Because he said no to me when I asked him out on a date?
Chicago why? White Sox fan who can't understand why their offense couldn't figure out Nestor Cortez. I know that sounds like such a stupid answer, but Craig, it's probably the answer.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. The second part of it that I don't get is if you are a public figure, I don't care what you do for a living, if you have any sort of following at all, again, whatever it is, 5,000, 500,000, whatever it is, how dumb can you be to not whitewash your past posts knowing that we live in a society today where there is that one person looking to bring you down?
Even if...
like, that's on you.
Yeah,
sorry.
In fairness.
Not sorry.
Do you think Nestor Cortez ever thought in the last 3 years about tweets he threw out there a decade ago?
Apparently not.
No. So here's my answer to that, because I do agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just would go about it this way. If I'm an agent, I would go to every single one of my players and say, I'm not saying you tweeted anything wrong, but we have a rule around here. Any tweet that was fired off before the age of 21, we're going to delete. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to hire somebody on my staff. It doesn't even matter if it's all good stuff. We're getting rid of every tweet before you turn the age of 21. Because I don't think for the life of me Nestor Cortez remembered tweeting anything.
I don't know about that.
You think he did?
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And I'm not excusing what he wrote or the use of the word. But, you know, if you're going to start holding people accountable when they're adults for things, not even that they said, but he's clearly said the word, but things that they tweeted. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about? When they were teenagers.
But do you think he's being held accountable?
Well, he's being kind of publicly raked through the mud a bit.
Okay, because
he's not going to lose his job or anything.
Just basing this on other athletes who've had this happen, where old tweets are digged up and you look at it and say, holy crap, that is offensive. It happened to Josh Hader. It happened to Sonny Gray. It's now happening to Nestor Cortez. When you look at the history of it, it all follows the same script. Guy apologizes. Guy says I was young, and within 36 hours, no one thinks about it ever again.
Yeah, probably. It's just we're living in the moment, right?
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, next week, we're not talking about it. You're right. Dead on right. But in the moment, we are talking about it because, A, he's on the best team in baseball right now. B, he's their best pitcher thus far this year right now. And people are getting to know him. He's being discovered now by far more people than ever heard his name before or recognized he was a professional baseball player. But it sucks all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
It just sucks.
It does.
Dude, you have to have something else to do in your life, but search the internet for what celebrities said when they were teenagers. No?
I really think it's a White Sox fan who's sitting there on a Sunday afternoon watching their team get shut down by Nestor Cortez. Just think of the timing of it, Craig. This became a story yesterday.
Yes.
He pitched on Sunday in Chicago against the White Sox.
So here's what happened. Somebody had money on the White Sox. Somebody's pissed that Cortez mowed him down.
Right.
And is his dominant pitcher now. And they're like, F him. I can't pay my rent. I'm going to get him.
It's either someone
and they got lucky.
It's
because
either
as a teenager, he used the word in a bunch of tweets.
Look, I'm sure other athletes have been searched upon to see if there is a smoking gun from when they're 16, 17, or 18, and they weren't found. In Nestor Cortez's case, it was found, but it's a White Sox fan sitting there on a Sunday afternoon watching, you know, the team struggle offensively, saying, look at this guy. This guy with that mustache. I don't like him. I'm going to try to bring him down.
Yeah, I agree.
Simple as that.
So, I don't know. It's just like, it just gives you the heebie-jeebies, and it makes you wonder. Like, if you're... We all want to connect with the people that helped make us successful, which is the community, the public, right? So there is a sense I've had at times, I'm sure you have, not a responsibility, but hey, we're very fortunate with what we do. So why not try to connect in a more personal manner with the audience that has made us successful,
right,
that has allowed us to live the lives that we lead? And we take that with some level of seriousness. But now you got to wonder, for all the people that like you, there's an equal number that might hate you.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So now,
equal.
Like, I wasn't a teenager when Twitter was started. See, that's one rare benefit of age. I wasn't 15 years old writing stupid stuff on social media.
Even I have that benefit at only 38 years old.
But there's something wrong with you if you spend your day trying to find content of a person in the public eye who you don't like solely to embarrass them or bring them down.
That's what it is. That's why if you're in any kind of public life.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Any kind of public life.
It's my Twitter account. I know that.
I'm sure. And by the way, I'm sure people have. But the difference, the benefit that you have is anything that you've put out there happened while you were an adult. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't something bad. It just means it's easier for you to make a stupid mistake when you're 15 years old as compared to 35
now,
years old.
Now, all those two stories aside, there is a legitimate thing that I think warrants our conversation today. And I get no joy out of having to be the guy to say it because I don't want to come across as a bad guy. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, the old man on the lawn yelling about, you know, about this guy or that guy. But I think we have to acknowledge that it's time. That, as you have said before on this show, there are some guys that aren't made for New York.
Mm-hmm.
There are some guys that can't handle New York.
I have said that.
And those might be two, you know, mutually exclusive things. But there's a guy in New York right now who, gosh darn it, I'm going to be a bad guy here, can't play here anymore. He has to go.
There's a guy who you're done with.
He has to, he has to go.
Which franchise does he play for?
Well, he has to go, Evan.
Which franchise does he play for?
And before I tell you who he plays for,
he
has to go because of what he said yesterday.
Oh.
And I'm sorry that I feel this way, but he has to go. And he has to go, like, today. Like, they should pack his bags.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a bad guy at all. I really do wish him well elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees should write him the check.
Oh, the Yankees. The Yankees.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees who are off to this historic start.
Yeah.
Who were 26-9.
Yeah.
They're like the 98 Yankees with better pitching. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the team we're talking about.
Yeah.
They have someone that needs to go?
I'm sorry. He's got to go. He's not meant for New York City. And that happens. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But he has to go. And it's time. And I don't want to hear about, you know, his last, you know, half a month. I don't. He said things that indicate to you he's not meant for New York.
So it's not performance-based, it's comment-based?
Well, it's both, but I want to recognize prior to, like, yesterday, his performance did start getting better.
So what did Joey Gallo say after he, or before he dropped the fly ball in left field and struck out with the bases?
Yeah. How many times did he strike out yesterday?
That made you say,
anybody know?
Time to go.
Was it four? Was it four strikeouts
yesterday?
He went
0 for 5 with four strikeouts. You know what that's called, Craig?
Yeah, it's called the Golden Sombrero.
Very good.
That's what it's called. We call here the Gallo.
He also left a country on base.
Yes, he did. And the Yankees won anyway. Trevino gets the home run down the right field line. They had a couple home runs later for a little wiggle room because Aroldis Chapman is looking like the Aroldis Chapman of last year, his last couple appearances, which is not a good thing. And we'll get to that in a minute. Joey Gallo has to go. And I'm not saying this because he struck out four times and left 100 guys on base yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go.
But what was the comment, though?
Joey Gallo, on his hitting approach, said yesterday, I guess after the game when reporters were crowded around his Ofer locker, I don't know how to be a guy who can shoot the ball the other way. Excuse me? What? You don't know how to do that? You're not willing to try to do that? You just are what you are.
Yes.
And that's what I
am. Joey Gallo has said numerous times, and this is just the latest example of it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm never going to hit for a high average. He has said this openly.
Yeah.
I'm going to strike out a million times.
And I respect the honesty, but you got to go.
I'm going to draw a lot of walks.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit a lot. So the positives, too. Like, a lot of home runs, a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts, no average. And he has been very accepting of this is who I am as a baseball player. That's not going to change.
How about a little something we call work ethic? How about practice? How about there's a hitting coach on this team? Talk to him. But instead, he says, and I'm quoting now, I wish I was DJ LeMahieu. And this boggles my mind for a pro who's making how much money this year?
Like 12, I think.
Yeah.
In that range.
12.
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
$12 million to be a professional.
Sorry
right?
to say that so casually to you, but I think that's what it is.
I wish I was DJ LeMahieu. I don't get how he hits the ball so much. Excuse me? You're a professional baseball player, and it boggles your mind how another guy hits the ball so much? A lot of times, I wish I was a contact hitter, but I'm playing the hand that I was dealt. How about being a professional?
It's interesting how he views who he is as a baseball player as something that's not like a choice. Like, it is a choice to be that kind of baseball player. Now, you want to tell me, well, my skill sets kind of lean into that. I'm a power guy. But you don't have to be that baseball player. You made a choice years ago. This is, and it is difficult. I want to defend him in this regard. It is very difficult at this point in his career to flip a switch and say, I'm going to become a different baseball player.
How about you try, though? What he's saying in these quotes is, I'm not even going to try to because it'll mess up my swing. You're batting 190.
Right.
You're telling me it's going to get worse?
Right, and he's not exactly on pace at 40 home runs. I think he's on pace at like 22 home runs.
Yeah.
So
but
what he
like,
is...
To me, we are a blue-collar town through and through, whether we pay lip service to it or not. The fan bases of all our teams are blue-collar men and women. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you root for. That is the bulk of the sports fan in New York City. And when you're making $12 million a year, and the fan base says they leave left field open for you more so than any player in baseball, have you practiced hitting the ball to third base? No.
It's
well,
it's
why
not,
won't you try? Because I can't.
It's not as
what?
It's not as simple
you gotta
as
go.
That. But the answer to me is similar in what you're saying, which is, at some point, I have to look at my team and look at the way I'm built and say, does it benefit to have this kind of baseball player in my lineup every day? The Yankees are hitting a ton of home runs. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo so far this year, and even a guy like Gleyber Torres, if he's right, should hit me 20 to 25 home runs. So you have to look at your roster and say, at what point do I say, I don't want that kind of player in my lineup? Like, Joey Gallo's proclaiming, this is who I am and I'm not changing.
And that's my problem, period, stop. It's one thing, we know you're a 200 hitter. Right. You know, you're going to get a lot of walks. So I know the on-base percentage is about average for a major leaguer. I get all that. My issue is not that. My issue is I'm not willing to put the work in to try to be better, to try to hit. So
well, I don't
the
think, it's, I don't think
it's
putting the work in. I think it's an unwillingness to bend what he thinks is his best chance to be a successful baseball player, which is a big power, big strikeout, big walk
kind
of guy.
But he's not going to hit 45 home runs this year.
I agree.
He's biggest not going to drive in 110 runs this year.
The biggest problem is not even his average. The biggest problem is he's not hitting the amount of home runs he's supposed to hit.
Right, so you can't defend the unwillingness to try something else. And I wouldn't tolerate it if I'm the New York Yankees.
By, I don't want to say June, but I'd say by the All-Star break. I'll be conservative, Craig. By the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the everyday left fielder
he
for this team.
He can't be. And I'm not because he dropped the ball yesterday, because he's usually a pretty reliable
hold
defender.
Hold on. Let me just challenge that a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were told Joey Gallo is a Gold Glove defensive left fielder.
Yes.
Now, I've watched him for a full year. We all have. Ask yourself. Is he a Gold Glove left fielder?
He's had a couple drops.
We've seen him drop balls in the outfield. Now, we've seen him make some nice plays, but overall, we've watched him for a year.
Yeah.
Craig,
he's not
that good defensively. Let's stop saying it, because why? Because we were told that?
Yeah, I agree.
I have eyes. Big Mac has eyes. You have eyes. We've watched him for a
year. He is not a Gold Glove outfielder.
No.
He's not. So the question is, what is he? Because if you're a guy batting 190 who walks a lot, here's the reality. If Joey Gallo gets up in the eighth inning of a playoff game, you're not hoping he walks.
He's not playing in a playoff game.
I hope not.
No, I'm telling you right now. Because whether it's a trade for a guy like Brian Reynolds, not to bore you with that, or it's internal, because remember, the Yankees have too many guys for too few spots, which means you're looking at an outfield of Hicks, Judge, and Stanton. When we get to, you know what, cutting time, this guy's not going to play. He's not. So I get what you're saying. I'm done with him. Unless something changes dramatically with him, don't worry. He's not, and he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're not bringing him back.
I agree. So hey, we'll get all your calls on it. The Mets played two today against the Cardinals. The Yankees have Tyone on the mound tonight against Spencer Watkins and the Orioles. Chalked it up as another dub. And away we go. 877-337-6666. Listen, I'm sure Joey Gallo is a good guy. Everyone seems to like him a lot. So I'm not, I feel bad about saying what I'm saying.
Oh, stop it.
But you're making $12 million a year. You can't play her anymore.
You don't have to preface and you think he's a nice guy.
I think he's a lovely guy.
Who cares if he's a nice guy?
Because you should be a nice guy.
But we're breaking down his skill set as
clear,
a baseball
it's not personal,
player.
And I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
Who thinks it's personal?
I don't know, some people.
We just don't think he's any good.
He's not. He's not. And last night, for me, not even 0-for-5, 4 strikeouts and the drop. For me, the issue is the comments.
Well, you know.
Because every player's going to have an 0-for-5 night.
I'm not saying I want him on the Mets, but I want to make this
point.
You
can have him.
No. I want to make this point. The New York Mets don't hit a lot of home runs. Okay? Would you agree with that? They have one true slugger on this team, Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
And
they're not going to lead the league in home runs.
They're not. Okay? The New York Yankees are. The New York Yankees have more home runs
than any
other
team. Who do you want to give me for Gallo?
I don't want Joey Gallo. Oh. I want to make a point to you.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Because I'll take Nimmo. I'll give you Hicks and Gallo, and I'll take Brandon Nimmo.
No.
And then I'll sign Gardner to be my backup.
Throw in your entire bullpen. I'll consider taking Gallo back, okay?
Listen.
The New York Mets could use or could live with an all-or-nothing player like Joey Gallo, because it could benefit them. They don't hit a lot of home runs. The New York Yankees are a slugging team and will hit more home runs than any team in the American League without Joey Gallo.
Correct.
Right, so if you agree with that statement, if you accept that statement, then why am I putting out there a guy who's going to hit me 195, play average defense, don't tell me he's won Gold Gloves, he's going to walk a million times, but he's going to go through these massive slumps in which it looks like he has a hole in his bat. The New York Yankees could benefit, and I get it, that 26-9, there's no issues, with a guy who makes more contact, with a guy who's a different baseball player, a different skill set than Joey Gallo.
Listen, I'm with you. I think most Yankee fans are finally on that hill with me as well. We'll find out by taking your calls, 877-337-6666. Grubhub. And I apologize. Apparently, I crashed the Grubhub system today, I was told. Grubhub was giving out a $15 free lunch coupon today. If you lived, I think it was just in the metropolitan area, the five boroughs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I took advantage of it, and I got a $15 worth of free Thai food today. And I put it out because I figured, why should I be the only person that benefits from it? And it crashed the system.
Look what you did.
So I hope you got your $15 free lunch today.
Your selflessness has crashed the entire system.
That's what I was told by Anthony Gallo. He said, yeah, Grubhub wrote back to you. Thanks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Here's Bruce and Cherry Hill on the Fan. Bruce, what's good, Cookie?
Yo, Craig. Evan, before I pick my bone with you, Craig, my heart goes out to the Marte family. I'm a Yankee fan, but...
We're all in lockstep on that. Your real life trumps anything that we talk about or these guys do for a living, and he's hurting right now, and however long it takes him to get in the right frame of mind to come back, obviously he's going to have to bury his grandmother and deal with family matters, and he should take as much time as he needs to do all that.
I agree with you 100% on that, Craig. What I don't agree with is Joe Gallo. This Yankee team is going to be historic. Lifetime Yankee fan. Listen, Joey Gallo is not what we want right now, but I believe he's going to get hot. He's going to hit his 25 home runs. He's going to come through.
That's not enough. 25 is not enough, by the way. Do you think that's enough?
Listen, guys, I know that's what you're saying, okay? But he is a big fan favorite in the clubhouse. Let's not break up this clubhouse, guys, because this clubhouse is really bonding.
Just out of curiosity, I agree with you. If you have a great clubhouse and guys, pull for each other, et cetera, I would never want to break up that type of vibe. But where do you get that from?
Where do I get it from? I have some inside track there, Craig, and I'm not
going to...
By the way, I don't doubt the fact...
I'm just wondering. I don't know.
I don't doubt the fact that Joey Gallo is beloved in the Yankee locker room. What I disagree with fundamentally is you saying, don't worry, you'll hit 25 home runs, as if that's acceptable for a guy who's going to hit 195. It's not acceptable.
He's going to hit 225 at year end, and...
All right, so whatever the personal connection to Joey is, I respect it. Here's my problem.
I do not have
all good.
Any personal connection.
Yeah.
But I believe the clubhouse is so tight right now.
Great. Here's the problem, all right? And I want to be very clear about this because I opened the show with it with Evan. I don't care about him batting 200. I don't care that he's not going to hit 40 home runs. I don't care that he struck out 4 out of 5 at bats last night. The thing that bothers me the most is that he did an interview after the game yesterday. That interview, he said he's not even willing to try. That's a problem.
I heard what you said. Did you hear it come out of his mouth?
It's direct quotes from his interview.
Okay. Well,
Bruce, in fairness, what Joey Gallo said the other day is not new. No offense. Like he has said before. And it's a self-awareness thing. Like, you could actually compliment him for this. He's very aware of who he is as a baseball player. And he has said this throughout his career. I don't hit for a high average. I strike out a lot. But I know in today's game the value I bring. I hit a lot of home runs. I play good defense. And I draw walks. My disagreement with Bruce is he acted as if doing all of that along with 25 home runs is good enough. It's not. Now, here's the good news for Joey Gallo. I just saw the New York Yankees lineup. The New York Yankees are playing Joey Gallo tonight. I'm just going to let you know.
Sure they are.
They're sitting a guy who's playing worse than him.
Okay.
And that guy's Aaron Hicks.
Okay.
Aaron Hicks, I think, has two extra base hits this entire season.
Yeah.
Aaron Hicks has a lower OPS than Joey Gallo.
By the way.
So the Yankees are overcoming both of that.
On Saturday when he got a hit in his first at-bat, yeah. I think it was first at-bat, I was like, I knew it. It was the baby that was causing all this.
Right.
And then what do you do?
He has not hit since.
Right. No, but my issue with Gallo, and you can take or to leave it, that's fine with me, is this quote. I don't know how to be a guy who can shoot the ball the other way. And my thought is, be a professional. Practice.
What baseball player, though, in defense of him, has just completely changed who they are in the middle of their career?
I'd like to, I don't know, I can't answer that.
Guys don't do that.
Yeah,
I'd like to know as a professional that you are in the cage trying to bunt to third, hit to third.
By the way, so Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles signed this mega contract and became Joey Gallo. I know he was before Joey Gallo, but couldn't hit. 140, 150 was terrible. But in Chris Davis's case, he already had a big contract. So maybe in his mind, this is who I am. I'm being paid a lot of money. What do I care? Joey Gallo's a free agent at the end of the season. He's making, I looked it up, it's not $12 million. It's about $9.5 million.
Okay, it's a lot of money.
Okay? But he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
If there was ever a time for him to do anything to get paid, it would be now.
Right.
But he realizes he's never going to become that player in the middle of his career.
Why do we accept that?
What I don't accept.
Why can't a guy tell me, listen, every day I'm practicing hitting the ball down the left field line. Every day I practice.
Because he's practicing trying to hit home runs.
Oh, come on.
See, he doesn't need to do that.
He doesn't want to be bad at two things. He's not a professional.
No. I don't know what else to say.
See, I just disagree with the way you're phrasing
this. Fair enough.
The only part I would say is when they are giving you the left side of the infield, they're giving it to you, and you claim, hey, I'm an on-base guy. I'm going to get on base or I'm going to hit a home run. Then get on base when they're giving you a chance to easily walk on base. And that's not hitting the other way. That's laying down a bunt.
Yes.
That's taking the shift when they give it to you.
Let me give you one more quote that bothers me to my core. All right, this is an interview he did with NJ.com's Randy Miller. You can look it up and hear it or read it for yourself, okay? I have to find value because I'm not able to get more hits.
What?
Yeah,
he's accepted who he is as a baseball player.
He's a quitter then. He's given up.
I think at 28 years old, being in the league for a decade and the minors
before
that.
Wait, how old is he?
He's 28.
Oh, he's not 39? So he's in his physical prime right now, and he just told you, I've given up.
He is.
I'm never going to get more hits.
He has accepted that his career is what it was in Texas. I'll hit 40 home runs. I'll hit 206. I'll walk a ton. I'll strike out a lot. That's what he was.
Which, by the way, was a two-time All-Star and a text message from Evan Roberts, congratulations, when they traded for him. So, yes, he's been terrible since he's been a Yankee.
But
if he gets back to the player he was, I understand what you're saying. But he's trying to get back to being the all-star player.
Evan's place is that, you know, for $10 million a year on this particular team,
yeah.
If he continues with the current numbers he looks like he's going to have this season,
yeah.
That's just not good enough.
Correct.
Peace out.
Correct.
And I think most fans agree.
Right.
And that's fine. You can argue day and night what numbers he has to deliver for you to say he should be in the lineup more. That's another day, maybe Saturday or something, right?
Right.
My argument is, here's a 28-year-old kid who's making $10 million this year, who has come out and said, I've given up.
You see,
I'm never going to be any better. I can't hit the ball to left field, and I'm not even going to try because it's going to mess me up even more.
I totally disagree. I think he looks at it differently. I think giving up and trying to bunt is that's how he looks at giving up. He's looking, I'm going to get back to the 45 home run guy who's made me a two-time All-Star and made me valuable to the Yankees to bring him over and change their lineup, which is what he was supposed to do. Giving up is, I'm going to no longer try to do that. I'm just going to try and get on base anyway.
Hold on.
Sorry about that.
He's not giving up on who he is as a player.
Specify. I agree with Big Mac when it comes to he's not going to become DJ LeMahieu. He's not going to choke up like Brandon Nimmo and try to slap the ball the other way. And I don't think he should. But are there moments in a baseball game
where
you should lay down a freaking bunt
when
you're an on-base guy?
Right.
When your claim to fame is, well, I get on base a lot and I hit a lot of home runs. Well, when there's one out and nobody on and you're down by two runs, lay down a freaking bunt.
Agreed.
So I don't know if you're saying that because you haven't said it. But that's where I would be. If you're saying, though, Craig, he's got to redefine himself as a baseball player
right.
9 years into his career, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen, nor is it happening with basically anybody.
Bunting's certainly part of it.
Well, that's all I'm
but
saying.
But here's the thing I don't like. It's a mindset. The mindset is, well, gosh, golly gee,
yeah.
I'm a 190 hitter. That's what I am. Right. That means you're not practicing. You're not trying to be better.
But Big Mac's point is for eight
Big
years.
Mac's an idiot.
No. For 8 years, he was a 206, 40 home run, 90 RBI, 800 OPS guy. And that made him an all-star.
That is a good player.
That made him a viable player.
Yeah.
The problem is, since the moment he got traded here, he hasn't been that guy.
You want him to give up on that guy.
Right.
He doesn't want to give up on that guy.
You're using the wrong term.
No, I'm not. I'm using your term. Give up.
I want him to improve upon what he is.
No,
and
you
that takes work ethic.
No, you want him to forget what made him valuable and try and be a different player.
He got lazy. That's what happened. He got comfortable being a guy that could get away
it's
with
not,
batting 200.
Lazy is not the right word.
He's lazy.
No, because lazy means he's not working. He's just working on being the guy
Evan,
he was in
here's
Texas.
Here's why. When you can make gobs and gobs of money batting 200, you lose the incentive not to bat 200. And that's all this is.
No,
this
is a guy who's accepting
got
zero work ethic.
Gobs hitting 45 home runs a year.
It's accepting who he is as a baseball player, which unfortunately is a low average, high strikeout, high home run guy. He's in a contract year. If he can hit 40 home runs, even if it means hitting 205 with an 800 OPS, he'll get paid.
I don't know how to get more hits. Oh, I don't know. Practice. Lay down a bunt every once in a while.
Well, that's different. That's a different argument because that I think you should do. Redefining who you are as a baseball player is a challenge 9 years into your career, but in certain situations, in certain moments, you've got to change. Like I was watching, it was the Met game the other day, and they were down by a few runs late. Don't swing 2-0. Like I'm more a conservative, hey, I need base runners. So it's kind of the same thing. If the Yankees are actually trailing a game, which they don't always do, in fact, they never do because they win all the time, which is sort of the headline, then there are times, hey, we're down by two. They're giving me the left side of the infield?
Yeah.
Learn how to lay a bunt down so you can get on base. You're trying to walk anyway. A walk, a bunt single. What the hell's the difference?
You're not a Yankee fan, so it's a little different, but I'm fascinated by Biggs over there. Diehard Yankee fan, tolerating a guy with no work ethic.
What's tolerating? I understand
tolerating
what he's saying.
Making excuses for somebody.
I agree with Evan's point 100% that he is not the kind of player that best suits this team. Yeah. That we would be better off with a different type of outfielder.
But
I don't expect him to change who he is.
Wouldn't it be nice just to hear a professional say the words, I'm going to be a professional, and I'm going to practice and try to become a better player. I'm not going to rely on the fact that I can make a lot of money batting 200.
But that's don't you think Judge could hit less home runs and try and hit 330?
As opposed to
why is Judge satisfied with 270?
Judge is going to bat 290.
Well, he's
pretty good at baseball.
But it could be better. Yeah.
Stop.
He could be better. If he worked really hard, he could be better.
Matt Harvey, the former New York Met.
I'm looking at it. I know. I'm waiting to say it. I got it right here. Evan.
Oh,
it's
I'm
right
supposed
here.
To read your mouth?
It's
well,
right
I'm,
here.
Well, I'm saying it first.
I got it right here in a piece of paper.
Well, I'm saying it first.
Take the paper.
I was bored by
you
your constant. You and Big Mac
guys,
saying the
I'm
same things over and over again.
Excuses for guys with no work ethic.
We get it. You got your opinion. He's got his. Matt Harvey's receiving a 60-game suspension for his violation of the joint drug program between MLB and the MLBPA. And that comes from the trial of Eric Kay related to the Tyler Skaggs death in which he admitted.
Well, he had immunity in that trial.
Well, but he's getting.
From a legal standpoint.
But he's getting suspended.
He's getting suspended because he was basically. Calling him a drug trafficker is too strong, to be just honest.
Yeah,
about
that's
it.
Not fair.
He's not a
that.
Drug trafficker. He did what every guy on this planet would do if a dear friend came to him and said, hey, I know you have Percocets left over from your surgery. Can I have one? I'm feeling pain. Every one of us would say, yeah, Billy, no problem.
Right.
That being said, he also has acknowledged his own substance abuse issues.
And that's what he's being suspended
for. And that's
for.
Really what it's about.
Yeah.
And baseball had to suspend him because it'd be a bad look if they didn't. Number one, he's an admitted drug user. Number two, he did provide a pill to a guy who unfortunately overdosed on someone else's fentanyl. And it's a sad story all the way around. And Matt Harvey, look, it is what it is.
So even though he was given immunity from...
That's from criminal proceedings.
Right.
Yeah.
MLB isn't following that immunity. The way they followed the immunity when they got the Astros to admit they were cheating with the sign stealing.
Right.
But because they didn't give the immunity, their answer is, look, we just heard you admit you did drugs. Boom, 60 games.
I think it's a combination of his admitted drug use.
Right.
And the fact that he did... Listen, he didn't play a role in Tyler Skaggs' death. I don't think it's fair to accuse him of that, or else he'd be in a much different place in life
right now,
if that's what the authorities thought. Matter of fact, you may have read the story that Mac Miller, musician who passed away from a drug OD a year or two ago, his drug dealer just got 7.5 years in prison for supplying him with the bad drugs that ultimately killed him.
Right.
So there is a penalty for doing that. Whether the drug dealer knew it or not doesn't matter. So Matt Harvey escapes any criminal proceedings, but when you're an admitted drug user and you're using foreign substances that aren't allowed in the game, you're going to pay a penalty for that.
Yep, no, gotcha.
And in this case, it's 60 days. And while everyone would do it legally, you're also not allowed to do it.
Right,
it's a controlled substance.
If
you came to me and said, listen, my elbow is killing me. Do you still have Percocets from your shoulder surgery? And I said, yeah, they're in my office. I'll give you one. I'm not legally allowed to do that.
Well, but also...
But it happens all day.
But in the case of Matt Harvey, there's a CBA in which there are banned substances. He admitted he took a banned substance. Boom, suspension.
I thought he was going back to rehab for that, or was in therapy. I may have confused the two.
I think I had read therapy. I also read there was interest in somebody signing it.
The Orioles.
Did the Orioles ever sign him?
Not that I saw, but the Orioles are at the end of spring training. There were some reports that the Orioles had been talking to him and showed some interest. He maybe even done a workout for some teams.
I think, I'm reading Baseball Reference. I think he's actually in the minors for the Orioles on the injured list.
Oh, so maybe he signed.
I guess he did sign.
He signed a minor league deal.
All right.
So there you go.
Well, I wish him the best of
luck. So if you, for a 60-day suspension, starting when?
Starting
like retroactive to when?
I think
starting today going forward?
No, I think once he's added to a 40-man roster would be my interpretation.
Does that, if you suspend a guy from the pros, can they play minor league ball? Probably not, right? I don't think they can.
Well,
right?
Okay, so I know that the Met who was the Met? Was it Adonis Medina who hit Nolan Arenado, came up in it on Nolan Arenado, got suspended? And he wasn't going to be able to serve that suspension until he got back to the major leagues. So I think you serve
so
it in the
words,
major
so
leagues.
So the Orioles announced that they're bringing Matt Harvey up to the big league club. He first has to sit out 60 games?
I'm not. You know, it's a great question.
Yes, Tommy, you've raised your hand. What do you like to say?
This is from Mark Feinsand.
Hold on. You called us banana heads yesterday. Turn your mic off.
Banana. Sorry. I have news on this, yes. So this is from Mark Feinsand. He says the start date of Harvey's suspension is retroactive to April 29th of this year.
Oh, so it's already... They're already counting like 2.5 weeks?
Seems like it, yeah.
Oh, so from when he signed with the Orioles then.
That makes sense.
I got another question for you, and I feel like a jerk asking this. If Matt Harvey's released tomorrow, would the suspension qualify for Mets All-Timers Day in July, or is he going to be allowed to play in that game if he's invited and says yes? I'm just curious.
You're allowed to play in All-Timers Day.
Oh, he'll be allowed? No, yeah. The suspension will not.
The suspension doesn't carry over to pickup games, Evan. No. He could play in your dumb Saturday league if you want him to. That'd be great. Matt Harvey shows up.
Dude,
I heard there's a game.
He would strike everybody out if he came up to my...
He would throw a complete game, no hitter, perfect game.
FanBaseballNYC.com to sign up. I'll be playing this Sunday. I'm back.
Let me ask you a question. I noticed somewhat regularly in the last month, you have put out the call for more players.
Yep.
Are there some issues with the league that we need to know about?
No. It was whenever I need we have a file of everyone who signed up, and it's thousands of people. I'm not even kidding you. I always feel bad emailing people who signed up a year ago. So when I get a manager who says, hey, I need a guy or two, I'll call out so I get fresh people as opposed to spamming somebody from a year ago.
So let me ask you, so if people sign up for the league, there's no guarantee that they A, play, or B, ever hear from the league?
Correct. I try to do a good job of emailing people. Because a lot of it's on me, but...
So, if someone signs up for the league...
You're not guaranteed to play, no.
That's what I want to get at.
No, you're not, no.
Sign up for the league, you may never play...
Right.
And you may never hear from us.
Yeah. Well, no, you will probably hear from us or me, but I can't guarantee you're going to play because we need open spots. There's only so many spots.
All these people signing up, why not create a couple more teams?
Because of the commitment that I have to make is not worth it. I'm sorry. It's laziness, if that's the word you
want to
use.
No, I'm just
asking. I run a league in which you make sure enough people are there, umpires, fields,
sure, and it costs money and time. I get all that.
It is, and I run it.
Yeah.
You know, even though I don't show up every Sunday or most Sundays, I still run the league. Yeah.
So why would I sign up for a league that I may not play in?
No, because there's a good chance I'm going to say, hey, we have an open spot.
But you're acknowledging that there's people who signed up a year ago who still haven't heard back from the league.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
They played. And then I don't want to email them a year later and say, hey, do you want to play again?
Got it. You like to refresh it.
I like to refresh it. But I've got a file of like thousands of people.
Thousands of people.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting.
No, it's crazy.
What are you going to do with that file?
Nothing.
Why don't you could sell that list?
I would never do that.
Sell to like FanDuel or something.
I would never. That list is private. Yeah, it's private. Fan baseball only.
Real quick, I got to go to Dave in Rhode Island here. Dave, what do you got, kiddo?
Hey, Craig. I'm sure you've noticed Evan's ego getting bigger and bigger. This solo Saturday show, he hung up very abruptly on me on Saturday, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Why did I do that?
But I don't know. I told you you're the coolest guy for scoring the games, and I started talking to you about Dime Alley, and you just hung up on me. But anyway.
Well, that's what he does. That Saturday show, he's a whole different animal.
My question is for Mr. Carton today. Craig, you said yesterday that you didn't even get one at-bat or pinch run in the majors.
Correct.
But yet, you are on a baseball card.
Yes.
Did you even know that? And do you have the card? I'm curious.
So it's a good question. I've been made aware that Topps did make a baseball card. That's part of the union's guarantee to every player that makes it to a major league roster. You also get $120,000 from Topps to have that card made.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It goes back to, obviously, the 90s, but it is what it is. But I do not have the card.
Because
believe it or not, they make more cards of well-known players than they do guys that don't get at-bats.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I have about 70,000 cards. I'm going to find it because I'm sure I have it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a teenager back then, and that's all I bought. So I'm going to send you a card if you have it.
Well, I very much appreciate that because of all the things I've done in life that I do have some type of tangible item that connects me to those events. I do not have a copy of my own card.
I feel very, very,
you're
very...
Oh, you're going to get one. But here's what I'm going to do. That card.
You know, one of my best friends in the world is... the
Evan
founder
Roberts?
Is Evan Roberts, yes. Right. Is somebody who now... owns the Topps card company. So I have reached out and I have asked them if they would recreate my card so I have it for my kids.
Recreate the card?
Well, you probably.
Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, well, no, you can't have a remake.
No,
No remakes.
No remakes. Dave's got to find the original.
Yeah.
And I'm confident Dave's going to somehow find it and all his
cards.
I'm going to find
it. Right? I bet I have it, but if I don't, I will get it.
Yeah, well, it'd be a mid 90s Phillies card.
Yep, I think it was 90 and 91. I think it was right
around there. No. That's way too early. No.
Really?
It was not 90 or 91. No.
Weren't you on the 93 World Series team?
Well, I got there late 93 and a part of 94.
He was a September call-up when rosters used to expand to 40. Yeah. I think he got the call in September,
I was the backup to Scott Rolen. So
Scott Rolen.
You could find the mid-90s Phillies collection.
Yeah, but Rolen wasn't called up till like 96.
What happened?
So what were you doing in 94 and 95?
I was backing up Scott Rolen.
Yeah, but he wasn't there until late 96.
In the minors.
Like, Scott Rolen won the Rookie of the Year in 1997.
Yeah.
So then where the hell, what were you doing for those years?
What happened? I was backing
him up. So wait a minute,
who
did you back up in 93?
What happened?
Kim Batiste.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, Scott Rolen won the 1997 Rookie of the Year. It's a fact. Everybody knows that.
True.
So if he won the 97 Rookie of the Year and was called up late in 96, who were you the backup to for all of those years since you were a September call-up for the Philadelphia Phillies in 93? Go ahead.
Didn't say 93. I was the backup to the Philadelphia Phillies after 93.
So Dave Hollins? Dave Hollins is backup?
I was Dave Hollins' backup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, how cool is John Kruk?
And let me tell you this. Dave Hollins, bad guy.
Really?
How cool is John Kruk, though?
John Kruk was a great guy to hang with, but here's the problem. They had a thing there in the mid-90s called Macho Row. It was Dave Hollins, John Kruk, Darren Dalton, and Pete Incaviglia.
Right.
And they had the back left corner of our locker room. And they didn't treat newbies or September call-ups very well.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm very confused about this because we're usually on SNY, not today.
Yeah, not today.
If I remember back to those mid-Phillies teams, they had a bunch of third basemen before Rolen got called up, including one year, Todd Zeal was their third baseman. How come Todd never brought that? So you weren't on the Phillies in 1996? Where were you?
No, I was not.
Where were you?
I had been cut by then.
You were cut?
I was cut.
So you were gone?
I was gone in 96.
So what was their year? 93 to 95?
Dave Hollins was the starter. I backed him up.
But that was only 94.
Yeah, that's when I was there.
And then 95, Charlie Hayes was the third baseman.
I was not there with Scott Rolen.
You were not there with Scott Rowland.
No, Scott Rowland was the future third baseman.
Well, hold on. You said forever.
I meant to say Dave Hollins.
You were the backup to Scott Rowland.
Yeah, but I you know.
Rowland didn't get called up until late 96.
I meant to say Dave Hollins. I made a mistake.
Wait, so this entire time you were Dave Hollins' backup
Dave
third
Hollins
baseman?
Dave Hollins' backup. Call him and ask him. Feel free. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, get Dave
so
Hollins.
What was call him up and ask him. Then?
What happened?
Craig, what was your years? 93, 94, 95?
Late 94, 95.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm still.
I
apologize.
Yeah, no, don't apologize. Let's move on, baby.
While working on WFAN, I was a huge fan of Boomer and Cart and loved listening to the show.
Yeah.
And you said for years.
Dave Hollins.
You were Scott Rowland's backup.
You misheard that.
For years.
Yeah, when I came back to work with you, I said Scott Rowland. I meant Dave Hollins.
Is that because Boomer didn't know, and I don't blame him. I do not blame Boomer for this, that Boomer didn't know Scott Rowland wasn't called up till 96, 97?
Dave Hollins. Dave Hollins.
He never called you on that.
Mistaking Dave Hollins for Scott Rowland.
No, no.
I don't know why you're doing
because
that.
Because for
you're
a
doing
decade of Boomer and Carlton.
Yeah, Evan, your ego's getting way too big.
Way too big. But if you could find me my
all
card,
I've heard Craig has said
I would appreciate
Craig has said it for years. Back up to Dave Hollins.
No, thank you. Dave.
He knows what's up. That's right.
Stop.
Thank you for the call, Dave. If you find my card, by all means, send
Craig
it to me.
Craig didn't know who Dave Hollins was until 5 minutes ago.
You know who played a lot of third base ahead of me?
Mickey Morandini?
Charlie Hayes.
Well, I just said Charlie Hayes.
I didn't hear you say that. I apologize.
Yeah, and then Todd Zeal in 96. But you
I was
you got
gone
caught
by then. I was gone. I was no part of the Phillies in 96. So there it is.
So you never even met Scott Rowland?
No, I've not. No, but Dave Hollins, bad guy.
You didn't like Dave Hollins?
No. He was one of those guys not good to the younger players.
Oh, really?
Now, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but Kevin Stocker and I would talk about this all the time.
For the Met fans out there, you know who was on those Phillies teams?
Greg Jeffries.
Greg Jeffries.
That's right.
What'd you think of Greg Jeffries?
He was a very good friend.
Really?
Yeah, very good to me. Yep. Matter of fact, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He runs a baseball academy now in his hometown.
And he tells kids to go in the pool and swing the bat while in the pool?
I don't know if he does that anymore. But
he used to do that.
Yeah, but I don't know if he does that anymore. But Craig and I got along great because we were both mistreated by the Phillies. Yeah. Those guys were douchey guys. And by the way, sorry, Joe Carter. I had nothing to do with it. That's why Mitch Williams and I don't talk anymore.
I can't believe after all these years, you weren't Scott Rowland's backup.
No, Dave Hollins.
How could you confuse
before
the
he
two.
Moved to first base, as you recall?
He did move to first base.
See, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. And by the way, in 95, we stunk. Right. We stunk.
Yeah.
Terrible team in 95.
That was a weird year.
Didn't even win 70 games in 95.
Well, you
I still couldn't play.
You weren't good in 94 either. Like, that Philly team after the National League pennant kind of sucked, dude.
Well, there's also a lockout.
No, there was a strike,
well,
but
we,
before
we
the strike, you guys finished worse than the Mets that year.
We always blame the owners for that. We called it a lockout.
Oh,
you guys in the media called it a strike. Us players, we refer to it
isn't
as a lockout.
Isn't it funny, Big Mac, that after all these years of being pro player, we call it a lockout? This time around, you kind of pick the other side.
Yeah, well, it's the owners. Yeah, you can't trust them. Yeah, and the commissioner. Oh. Paul Seelig was a, oh, please. Anyway. I'm glad we could run through that. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, fun for all of us.
Interesting. And good luck to our caller on finding that baseball card. I'm sure he'll find it.
I've seen pictures of it. I can tell you that. I have seen pictures of it.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Rowland didn't get called up until late 96.
Evan, I meant to say Dave Hollins. I made a mistake.
Wait, so this entire time you were Dave Hollins' backup
Dave
third
Hollins
baseman?
Dave Hollins' backup. Call him and ask him. Feel free. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, get Dave
so
Hollins.
What was, right, call what was up your years then?
What happened?
Craig, what was your years? 93, 94, 95?
Late 94, 95. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm still.
I
apologize.
Yeah, no, don't apologize. Let's move on, baby.
While working on WFAN, I was a huge fan of Boomer and Cart and loved listening to the show.
Yeah.
And you said for years.
Dave Hollins.
You were Scott Rowland's
no,
backup.
You misheard that.
For years.
Yeah, when I came back to work with you, I said Scott Rowland. I meant
that,
Dave Hollins.
Is that because Boomer didn't know, and I don't blame him. I do not blame Boomer for this.
Yeah.
That Boomer didn't know Scott Rowland wasn't called up till 96, 97?
No, Dave Hollins. Dave Hollins.
He never called you on that.
You're mistaking Dave Hollins for Scott Rowland.
No, no.
I don't know why you're doing
because
that, but
for
you're
a
doing
decade
it.
Of Boomer and Carlton.
Yeah, Evan, your ego's getting way too big.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.